Mark Litke with Stuart Peterson, and we're seeing a lot of volatility in this dairy market of recent here. Any indication as to what's prompting this?
Well, Bob, I think what we're seeing here, first of all, we do have a lot of supply that's going on out in the countryside. Cows have been producing really well this year. We've had a mild winter, and feedstuffs were pretty good last year. So as a result, we're getting a lot of positive production. As far as seeing milk on the downside, because of that production, it's been hard to keep pace with, the demand's been having a hard time keeping pace with all that production. At the same time, we're still seeing product movement, though. When we start looking out and seeing different things happening in the powder markets and the cheese markets, we're confident that we're finding some buying support, especially in the cheese market, in that around $1.50 on the block price area. We're getting stuff moved at that point. So I think the market, as far as buyers are going, just tentative, they're kind of taking a wait-and-see approach to see if they can buy as much as they can at these relatively lower prices, and that's why we're seeing the product movement. But they're not getting aggressive to buy it, as prices move up a little bit higher.
Kind of surprising, in the February we saw record milk production. Yes, we also saw a reduction in stocks. Did that surprise you a bit?
It's a little bit surprising when you see those kind of numbers that take place. It's encouraging. Again, that tells us that product is moving somewhere, and of course we could also see a revision in those numbers in the next production report. So it's hard to tell at this point if that's if that's going to be the final numbers or if they'll get adjusted down the road a little bit.
Obviously, we're dealing with the same type of volatility in the grain markets all the way across the board in production agriculture right now. What do you suggest for producers? What's the proper risk management to take here?
Well, especially on the grain side, Bob, we've got a really we have a unique year here. We've got very slim ending stocks from last year's crops that we had, and we're moving into a planting season that looks like it could be early, and we have a lot of our corn farmers that are really showing that they're planning on planting a lot of acres. And so looking ahead, we see the possibility that we could have extremely huge amount of ending stocks come after the end of this next crop year. However, we've always got the weather issue that plays its hand, and when you work with it as very slim stocks that we have right now, that's going to be a real wild card as we work our way through this crop year.
Obviously, the foreign markets come into play here as well. Let's talk South America to begin with. What are you hearing coming out of the South American crop?
Oh, everything that we've heard so far is that the crop was okay. It wasn't as good as what they were expecting. So that could be a factor as we look down the road. But at the same time, there's still quite a few of bushels coming out of South America. It's just that it wasn't quite what everybody expected it to be.
And some real concerns about the European economy.
Very concerned about that. That's the wild card that could really play havoc with all of our markets. If Europe really falls apart, and we've seen days where it's falling apart and the sky is falling, and we've seen days where everything is just fine, if that credit market falls apart over there as a result, and we have some problems with some sovereign debt over there, we could really see that ripple back into this country and all over the world, and it could really create some issues for our grain markets and our milk markets here.
Why has Europe been such a tough fix? Through all of this, Greece is still broke.
You're right. They are still broke, and the fact is when you start talking about austerity for people, they start to get a little bit uprising about it, and so as a result, to make cuts to government budgets, it's very hard to get that done. At the same time, they're on the flip side, the folks that have supplied the debt to all those countries don't want to lose out on their position either. So there's some real hand-wringing going on as to how are we going to manage that. We don't have banks and countries fall apart due to their debt being trimmed. And we also, the fact that we've got people that really are having a hard time cutting back on their lifestyle, and at the same time, economies that aren't doing well, and it's really hard to generate growth in that economy if there's no industry to start with, especially like in Greece.
Do we expect this to have a long-term effect on the common agricultural policy in the European Union?
Oh, I believe there's always ramifications on anything when you start talking political. When you start looking at policies that take place in different countries as far as their austerity and cutting back. All sorts of programs can be cut, whether it's purchasing farm products, therefore subsidies get taken away from the farm, quotas get reduced to make products more competitive into the world trade arena. They're going to do a lot of different things to try to help themselves. And so therefore, we could see anything happen. It's really a wild card, Bob, when you start looking at all of it.
And what about China? Is this still the big sleeping giant everyone thinks it is?
You know, China is obviously a very important market with, you know, their 1.3 billion people that they have. The concern that I keep hearing is that they might actually be a net import country by the end of this year, which is kind of scary because they've been living off of exports. And if that's the case, what is that going to do to their buying power if they're not exporting as much as they're importing? They may not have all the cash available that they have over the past few years to be able to sustain things in the world economy as they have.
Now, if people would like more information on Stuart Peterson, how do they get a hold of you?
We can be called at 800-334-9779 or stuart-peterson.com.